Beginning the message tonight, we really appreciate and love Freedom Baptist Church and for all the years that you have helped us and stood with us. I'm thankful for 10 years of my life that I was here and finished Bible college and then stuck around for a while and had to find a wife as well. And thank the Lord for all the direction and all the helps, and thankful for as a young person, coming here as an outsider and seeing how God's work is being done. And thankful for the bubble that you have here at Fairhaven. And thankful for the much instruction and the connection that we've been able to have over the years. My kids love coming to youth conference, Empowered Youth, and that's the highlight of the year, I think. So they love coming over here. And it's been very influential in their lives as well. We appreciate all the accommodations and the hospitality. And we've been roughing it out over at Roz's house. And Mr. Goss, you did a great job there. It's fully furnished. It's beautiful. And you guys need to invite yourself over and stay for a while. Okay, it's really nice. It's really nice. And they take care of you over there. But it's a blessing. We come back here, and God has been really good to us. We've been so spoiled, and I just feel like we are the most blessed people in here tonight. But we want to thank the Lord for his goodness to us, and we're going to tell you more about a week from now as we prepare to go back. There's a lot of hoops to jump through, and I think we're going to send out an email or something, let you know what to pray for. But there's a lot of testing that has to take place as we go back, And since we've had some flu disease or sicknesses, so now I'm trying to go back with a clean bill of health. Pray for that as we have some testing take place as well. So we appreciate all that God has done for us through Fairhaven, and appreciate the Olsons as well. They've been very helpful to us. And you sent a group over there 2 years ago, and that was a big blessing. We got to see a Bible club started and some people that were reached because of that Bible club as well. So we're thankful God's working, and please continue to pray. Pray for those people that God would continue to secure a strong biblical church, and we are just thankful to be a part of it. And I'm not kidding you, they would die to have what you have here. And the singing, the music, the preaching, the fellowship, there's people all around the world that never have an opportunity like you do. I hope and pray you won't take it for granted. But you have so much. And this morning we heard about the plutocrats, isn't that right? And we are so rich because of knowing Christ. And there's so much that we have in Christ. Let's take our Bibles, go to 2 Thessalonians tonight. And chapter 2 here, we see especially 1 and 2 Thessalonians has addressed the doctrine of eschatology. And so there's much about the teaching of Christ's return and how that there is going to be the day of Christ and all of that that's included. There's a falling away first. There's a man of sin that would be revealed. There's various things about the day of Christ and that event. And so there's much that's addressed in these two epistles. If you ever want to study eschatology, there's much that you can learn from about eschatology. But tonight, chapter 2, let's look down here at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." The title of my message tonight is Warnings for God's Church During Perilous Times. I think we are facing perilous times in the present, aren't we? We are facing some things and some uncertainties. And there's a lot of things, especially as we get closer. And every day we are drawing closer to the second coming that is imminent. And therefore, we would do good to take heed to these warnings tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you'd use it in our hearts, even as we sang tonight, that the Holy Spirit would breathe on us. Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that is displeasing to you, Lord, that I would only say that is according to your will. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the right thoughts, give us the right the points in this passage tonight, and Lord, that you would preach to us from your word. And I pray that we would be open, and Lord, that you would convict us as well of sin. Lord, continue working us tonight. Help us take heed to these warnings, and pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. March 11th, 1942, after struggling against great odds to save the Philippines from the Japanese conquest, the U.S. troops under General Douglas MacArthur, they abandoned the island fortress of Corregidor. Under the orders, the direct orders of President Roosevelt, they pulled off, they left this fortress, they left it behind, and along as well as 90,000 American and Filipino troops who were lacking supplies and support. But General MacArthur had to leave because there was another battlefront they had to take on in the South Pacific. Deeply disappointed, he issued a statement to the press before he left, in which he promised his men and the good people of the Philippines, he said, "I shall return. I shall return." And that promise became his mantra during the next 2.5 years. As General MacArthur went on to fight these other battles in New Guinea and Australia and other places in the South Pacific, yet 2.5 years later, October 20th of 1944, finally, General MacArthur, with his troops, waded up the shores of the Philippine island of Leyte, and there he called for a radio broadcaster, and he put it out on the radio waves. He said, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." And with that return came a victory. And I brought up that story tonight to think about how that those people, they put hope in that message, "I shall return." And I think we need to be reminded tonight that Christ is returning, isn't he? We have a Savior who is returning. And no, it's not just some verse in the Bible. It's not just somebody's idea, not just something to preach on. But this is a real event, and it will take place. We need to be prepared. We need to warn each other and help each other to be prepared for this great event. He will return. And as we think about these things, and I think there's some points that we need to consider here tonight, as we look in this passage, I see in verse 13, it says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Verse 14, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions." First point I want to bring out tonight, and this warning, no steadfastness, no stability. If we have no steadfastness, we have no stability. Fairhaven Baptist Church, we need to be stable. We need stability. In these times of great uncertainty, in these times of great unrest and of upheaval, everything's crazy, everything's messed up. 2020 has been one of those years. How many times has travel plans been changed? Flights have been canceled. We were put into transit holding area on our way here and on the way back, not hoping to be much better. Quarantines, it's all going to be there. But listen, 2020 is a year of trials. We have one more month left, huh? And I remember coming into 2020 in the Asian world, I mean, it's all about good luck and charm, you know, all their stuff that they do And so they're already bragging about, oh, 2020, this is going to be a great year. I mean, we're going to make so much money, and we're going to have a prosperous year. And you know, it's almost as if they're boasting about something that's already been accomplished. You know, like the year's already over, basically. And it's only January, but they're boasting about it because, you know, we're going to make, and this is going to be one of those years, and everything's going to be great, and we're going to be rich, and we're going to have this. And, you know, by February, everything's falling apart. Because of COVID. But you understand, we have one of those years where God is trying us. And in a time of great uncertainty, we need to stand fast. The word stand fast has to do with being resolute, being firm, unwavering, holding on to something tightly secure. This is a call for us to be faithful. A call for us to have a constant walk with God. Be careful of anything that pulls you to the right, to the left. We need to be constant in our walk with the Lord. We, every one of us, we need to make sure that we are connected with God and we are in a constant walk with Him. In a year, it's like a roller coaster, isn't it? And you never know what's going to hit you next. But the question tonight is, what areas are wavering that need to be held fast? What areas that are wavering in your life? Maybe it's church membership, church attendance. Maybe it's a daily walk with the Lord. Maybe it's your Bible time, prayer time. Maybe it's being a witness. Maybe it's taking time to have a Bible study. But you know, there's so much around us that is not secure. There's so much around us that isn't stable. If you've been flying much, you know that every once in a while you come across something when you're flying. It's called flight turbulence. How many of you like flight turbulence? Huh? Yeah, this is great, isn't it? And you got to pull that emergency bag out, you know? Yeah, and it seems to happen when I'm in the line to get a beverage or a snack or just walking around to get the blood flowing in my legs again, or in line for the restroom, and then the flight attendant comes on. We've encountered some flight turbulence. Everybody return to your seats, put on your seat belts. You know, until the seat belt sign is on, until it goes off again, you can't get back up. And so you go sit down, and then you know, the light goes off, and you get up again, and then they get back on. There's more turbulence. But it's not fun to be in turbulence. After a while, you know, you get kind of used to it. And statistics have shown nobody dies from turbulence. All right? So don't get your blood in a flood. But turbulence is a part of your flight. You're going to have turbulence. It's unpredictable air movement. It's unpredictable. But you know, it's a part of the flight. And sometimes our lives are going to have some turbulence. The truth is, sometimes we're going to have to face some things that we never faced before. Who would have ever predicted all the things going to take place this year? Yeah, it's a chaotic year. And we didn't plan on coming in November either. I didn't want to be here in November. The kids want to be here. Let them come. I was going to come to preaching conference. And I think the food's better at preaching conference. I don't know what it is. The food's not very good this year either. But hey, there's a lot of unpredictable things. Life is full of these things. But the thing is, the Bible says, hold fast. Hold fast to what? Hold fast to traditions that come from right here. Not religious traditions, not man's traditions, but right here, God's traditions. The Bible says here in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Oh, I'm so thankful. God has a way for us to walk. And He has a certain path for us every day. He's a path for us every week. He has things for us to do, and we need to get into His Word. And if you don't know what to do, just start studying the Bible. If you just turn back a few verses, you're going to come to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 has all these short verses, but very clear instructions. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. There's a lot of traditions right there from the Bible that for us to keep. Hold fast. Don't give up what God has given us to do. Every one of us, we have a job to do. And I was last night talking about some musical instruments and talking to Dr. Mitchell and how there's some instruments that are helpful to give us rhythm, to give stability in music. There's some things they use for a rhythm. I'm thankful that we can hold fast to the rhythm that's right here in the Bible. God gives us a way to walk. He shows us how to live. He shows us how to talk. He shows us how to walk with fellow believers and with worldly people all around us. There's a great need for people to be strong, to be stable, to be settled. Hold fast to those things that you've been taught. I'm thankful there's a church in Cambodia tonight. And hopefully they're holding fast. I'm thankful when I look on the security cameras, because we have these security cameras now, and I can look at it on my phone, I can see who came to church today. And I can watch the back of their heads, but we try to see, oh, this person, that person, oh, I'm glad they're coming. Who's this new person there today? I'm thankful for people that are still holding fast. I'm thankful that the foreigner doesn't have to be there for them to be in church. And the foreigner's gone, and the Americans are out of here for a month, or hopefully it's only a month. But you know, the Americans are gone. I'm thankful the Cambodians still come to church. And they count it as their own church. And they love to meet together. And they love it. It's like a family. And the people have a connection with each other. And they love God's house. That's such a blessing to see people that are holding fast to what they've been taught. And we don't want to teach them what the Americans say and what some church in America does. But we want them to be God's church. We want them to experience God's blessings for themselves and follow God's commands. It is worth it all. It does work. Oh, praise the Lord for that. God is so good. And we need to hold fast. And think of several points right there in the verse. Chapter 13 says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Several points right here in these verses. I see that God enables, he has control. Trust in his control. I'm thankful even before we came about on this earth, even before we were born, as the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, that God was already planning for the redemption of mankind. God was already at work to provide a way for us to be atoned, to atone for our sin. Well, I'm so thankful for the plan of redemption. Aren't you thankful tonight that you are one of God's chosen and that he was drawing you to the gospel? I'm thankful for people in this room, even here, that God worked on you for years to bring you and draw you to the gospel. I'm thankful that when my parents got saved and they didn't know anything, they didn't know who was preaching the gospel, who had the truth, but 6 miles away from our home, there was an independent Baptist church, and God brought us to go to church there, and we were put into Sunday school classes where they would preach the gospel. I'm thankful that there was a church right there to give us the truth. Hey, we have something to hold on to. God has control. I'm so thankful for that. But secondly, I see that we can trust in his care. Look in verse 16 as well. There's other things we could bring forth in this passage. But look at verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. Can you see? God has great care for us. God cares for Fairhaven Baptist Church, yes. But God cares for his children all the way around the world as well. God loves to answer their prayers. God wants to be real to them. and they're only making $152, $200 a month. It's not very much, $200 a month. But we try to teach them that God will bless them if they give. God will bless them if they give. And they learn how to give the tithe. And God blesses them, and God gives them more. And God gives them more. And I'm thankful tonight that if there's anybody in our church that needed anything, we could call up some people in the church and say, hey, this person needs some food, or this person needs something. Would you go over there and help them and pray for them? I could give them a call right now, and because of God's work in their hearts, because God has shown them how to love, and they'd be more than happy to go and help and be willing to spend of themselves to be a blessing to someone else in God's family. Hey, God loves you, but God loves everyone. God wants them to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. Aren't you thankful tonight that you are in the wonderful love of God and cannot be separated from it? See, thirdly here, that we can also trust in his comfort. Verse 16, 17 here it says, now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Well, tonight, everything may be against you, but when you open the Bible, you can see we are blessed to have wonderful comfort from God our Father. God loves us and he cares for us and he wants to comfort us. And you know, sometimes as we're traveling and as we're commuting about, as we're trying to get in and get our visas to live in Cambodia, or there's other issues that need to be resolved, many times we run into the wall and run into a wall and we're like, okay, the Lord brought us here, and now you're going to have to get us out of it. We call the family together with the kids and we say, it's time to pray. We don't know what we're going to do. You know, sometimes when we throw our hands up, when we're at our rope's end, we don't know what we're going to do. And in those times, God gives us great grace. And God answers. He comforts us. Oh, I'm so thankful. God does not change. He is immutable. He ever cares for us. He comforts us. I'm going to give you a short linguistic lesson tonight. There's a word in Khmer, we call it Muom Muon. Muom Muon. Can you say that? Muom Muon. All right? So you guys are speaking in tongues out here. Muom Muon. This word means unwavering. That means rock solid. God wants us to be Muom Muon. And the Bible says, in every good word and work. How about it tonight? Are you established in your ways? The people who work with you, do they know that you're a Christian and that your faith is strong? Are you being the light and the salt of the earth? Does God order your ways? God wants to establish us in every good word and work. I'm thankful there are some Christians who want to live for God in Victory Baptist Church. I think of a young man who's trying to finish high school in a class of 45 students. They say, who's a Christian here? He says, ma'am, I am. And they begin to mock him and rip up his anything they can say to blaspheme and make fun of Christianity. And this young man tries to be respectful. This young man tries to be a good student. But he knows he's going to get maligned. And he reads his Bible on his break in school. He reads his Bible and the students move away from him because they don't want to hear him read his Bible. I went to public school for 3 years when I was a kid. I didn't read my Bible in public school. I'm thankful God can bring some strength and settle and establish these young people. A 19-year-old that's willing to stand in class, willing to stand up for the Lord and not be ashamed. And there's not one person telling him to go to church. Not one person urging him to read his Bible. He comes to church because he wants to come to church. He comes to church because it's real. And God has established his ways. Him and his brother, I'm so thankful for him. I really think God's going to call them to preach. God's going to call them to be one of his servants. But the parents, they hate Christ. And even since we've come here in the last 3 weeks, there's been a lot of pressure put on these young people. The parents are saying, you're going to church too much. You're reading your Bible too much. You're praying too much. Anything to do with Christianity. You know, trying to pull them back. I'm thankful that they call us up and they say, would you help us? Would you pray for us? They took away their motorcycle, took away their bicycle. They said, we're not going to help you anymore. We're not going to help you with schooling anymore. Either you take Jesus Christ or you take us. They said, you can live with us and you have your lodging here, but we're not going to help you with anything else. And we're trying to work out all these scenarios, trying to help God's people to stand for him. I'm thankful that God is able to establish their ways. He's able to establish those that are wavering. Would you continue to pray that God would raise up more solid Christians? Secondly, look at this point here in chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Second main point tonight, no intercession, no intervention. No intercession, no intervention. It's very important as we think about perilous times, think about the end times that are upon us. We need to give ourselves to intercession. I'm thankful on Thursday nights there's corporate prayer. I'm thankful on Saturday nights that there's corporate prayer. I'm thankful for a church that binds together in prayer. And as you're here on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock, we are 8 or 9 o'clock, depends on what time of the year it is. But we're 12 hours ahead of you, and we're getting ready for services. And I'm always assured of that. Sunday morning, praise the Lord. There's a group of men at Fairhaven Baptist Church that are praying for us and holding us up in prayer. Praying for the missionaries and praying for those that are around the world. We need intercession. And I know you hear, if you've heard it once, you've heard it 100 times. Brethren, pray for us. But I'll say it again, brethren, pray for us. If I were to leave tonight and get on a plane and leave, never to see you again, I would ask you, would you please, please, brethren, pray for us. Brother Kim, pray for us. That's what it is. It's prayer is a lifeline. And in a sense, we go to the front lines sometimes it can be discouraging. Sometimes get lonely. Sometimes you wonder, does anybody care? You're in a mass of people. There's not a soul. You don't know anybody. They don't know you. And you're just like, well, if I die, ain't nobody going to notice, right? And sometimes you get discouraged and, you know, the juniper tree experience. Well, you know, it's not going to be a big deal if it just ends all right here. But you can get discouraged. Brethren, pray for us and pray for these two things. Number one, pray for God's word to bear great fruit. Look at verse number one. It says, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. I'm so thankful for great testimonies in this room and testimonies of salvation, of the fruit that God has borne through Fairhaven Baptist Church. I'm thankful when I came to school almost 30 years ago. Ooh, getting up there, right? And Eric would, ask the guys back there in the dorm, pray for my dad. Pray for my dad. I'm thankful. As the Word of God has borne fruit in this room, we're praying God would do it again in Cambodia. God, would you do it again? And we're encouraged by the testimonies you have in this room. But oh, we're praying that God would do it again. We're thankful for the number of families that God has brought into our church. But we're praying, God, would you do it again? Would you give us more young people that are serious? And I think about these young guys that I was telling you about in school. I didn't have that kind of faith when I was a teenager. And I went to church sometimes just because my parents prodded me to go to church. There's 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds coming to church, and the parents hate Christ. And they try to give them work to do, try to keep them out of church. And they have to do all their housework first. And if they get it done in time, they get to come to church. And God has done a work in their hearts. And I'm sure there's many other testimonies can be given in mission fields around the world. But brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. We pray for you and we hope that you will pray for us. It is our lifeline. Hudson Taylor said, when we work, then we see the labor of our work. But when we pray, then God works. Don't forget, prayer is not an option. Prayer is an absolute essential. Prayer is an essential for doing God's work. Without prayer, we don't have a chance. Without prayer, we become sucked up by the vacuum of selfish dreams, selfish ambitions. Yeah, America. Yeah, the glory of the world. And everybody wants to come here. Like, woo. And you know, it's funny because in Cambodia, everybody dreams about coming here. And they hear about all the COVID and all the, you know, the virus. And, oh, yeah, they're dying over there by the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people dying. And then the next breath, the guy says, could you help my kids go to America? Like, really? You just said they're dying. Okay. But everybody wants to come here. They think you have so much money you can't spend all of it. My in-laws are up in Michigan. They said alcoholic consumption in Michigan has gone up 40%. Really? All because of COVID, we have all these regulations. But you know, if we have more drugs and more drinking, you know, how's that going to work out for you? 40% increase. Yeah, we're really messed up. Yeah, we are beyond the point of return. But we desperately need prayer. And we need prayer because God is the only one who can do the word. Look at secondly, not only you pray for God's word to bear fruit, but secondly, we pray for God's work to have great freedom. Look at verse number 2. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord, thank the Lord, he is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Think about it tonight. We also need to pray that God's work would be protected, that there would be great freedom. There's a lot of people that want to hinder and want to harm God's work. I'm thankful for the protection that God has given Fairhaven Baptist Church for 50 years. And the great heritage that we have here. But we need to pray that God would also help these younger churches. That God would protect them. And you know, the devil has all his minions out there. And the devil has people like we look in Timothy, talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander, these wicked ones of the world. And the devil has his Hymenaeus and Alexanders in Cambodia that want to hinder and want to close down God's word. We've had some people come and we've had sometimes it's just more verbal, whatever, but there's people trying to cut these others off, especially these that are growing in the Lord, and there is real opposition. We need to pray that God would continue to protect these young babes in Christ. Pray for these young Christians. Pray for them to be strong. Pray for them to grow. And I know they're people. They got problems. They have weaknesses. And the best guys in the church, yeah, I know them inside and out, and I know they have a lot of room to grow. Just remember this, they're first-generation Christians. First-generation Christians. Okay, they've been saved for 4 years, 5 years. Some of them saved for 10 years. They're first-generation Christians. It takes time. It takes a lot of effort, and only God can do it. Pray that God would continue to bear fruit and that God would protect. And there's some precious people there. I think of a church secretary. She left Phnom Penh over 10 years ago. I guess going on 15 years ago. Her family didn't want anything to do with Christianity. And they sent her to leave Phnom Penh and go to Siem Reap because they said there's a good job economy up there with all the tourism and the temples. We want you to leave Phnom Penh because she'd gotten saved in Phnom Penh. And she'd just gotten a taste of Christianity. She wasn't discipled. It wasn't even a good church. But praise the Lord, she came to work in Siem Reap, and one day she heard the trucks going by, and they were singing songs. And when they sing, they don't whisper. They sing, okay? And so they're singing along the roadside. They're going to church. And she heard them singing, and she said, I think that's where I want to go. And she was already saved. And thank the Lord, she's been our church secretary for over 10 years now. And she's grown in the Lord. And it's good to see spiritual reproduction. See them multiply themselves. And see them disciple. See them witness. See them helping these other young Christians. And now we're 2 months away from seeing her get married. So we're going to have... Well, I have another wedding, Mr. Ra. He was the first one, all right? So now we're going to have our second Christian wedding. It's good to see these young people come together in church and see them follow the Lord, lay the foundation for a Christian family. Pray. Pray that God would protect them. And pray that God would continue to give us more freedom. Man, we don't want to hinder God's word. And we need to keep ourselves out of the way. And pray that we would be usable. Pray that we'd be humble. And God would continue to do a work in our midst. But I'll say it 100 times. Please pray for us. Yes, we're thankful for your support. We're thankful for the ways that people have helped us. We're thankful for people sprinkled through this auditorium that have come over to visit us. And I'm hopeful that there will be more to come and visit. But more than anything else, brethren, please, take time and pray. Pray for God's work that is abroad. Brethren, pray for us. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah's day was a wicked day, but God said, call unto me. I want to answer you, but you need to call. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Oh, he reproved them because they hadn't asked for anything. God wants us to call. He wants us to ask him. How's your prayer life been? 2020, with all the uncertainty, I think God is trying to get our attention and say, time to pray. Time to get serious about prayer, guys. I know he's been knocking me on the head with it. But we're so busy and we make all these excuses. No intercession no intervention. I'm so thankful for people that believe in prayer that God is real. God is able. He is able to make all grace abound. But he tells us, pray, call to me. God wants to help us. Third point tonight, no travail, no triumph. No travail, no triumph. Look at these verses here in chapter 3. Verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves, look at verse 7, yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. No travail, no triumph. We see here the apostle was willing to travail. He travailed for their sakes. He wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. The question tonight to ponder, what are we willing to travail for? Many will travail and go to the ends of the earth to make a buck. To be entertained for amusements. Not all of that is wrong. Be careful. Are we willing to travail? Are we counting the costs? Willing to travail for the will of God? I put on here, no pain, no gain. Sometimes God chooses to use pain. As we talked about even tonight in the testimony, God may use sickness. And he has used that many times in the past. It hasn't been easy being in the COVID climate. And the food's not so good, is it? But you know, God uses it to clear some things up in your life. And sometimes, I tell you, pain is good for us. Sometimes affliction. It takes care of all the peripheral things and it clears up our focus. Sometimes we need some discomfort. And I know we live in America and we love all the amenities. We love all the luxuries. Boy, we love all the comforts. But I tell you, God may use some discomfort. He might want us to travail. He might want us to get used to enduring some things and going without some things. Maybe in some way we can make a small sacrifice. Maybe there's some way that we can spend of ourselves. We can give of ourselves. I'm thankful hundreds of years ago that there were men who were willing to give up everything to go and carry the gospel to a foreign field. And when they said goodbye to their families, they didn't even have any hope of seeing them again. They didn't jump on a plane as we do. They paved the way for modern missions. And it's nothing like it used to be. But you know, sometimes as we leave and as we say our goodbyes, our farewells, it's like, I wonder if we're going to see them again on this side of eternity. I wonder if they're going to go first to heaven or are we going first? But God uses tragedies, doesn't he? He uses times of travail, sickness, hardships. Boy, this world, they put so much priority on everything else in this world, everything else on the earth, but we need to put a priority on God's will, God's work. What does he want for us to do? And Aaron Judson said this, and he's one of the greatest missionaries, wasn't he? He said, there is no success without sacrifice. No success without sacrifice. He said, if you succeed without sacrifice, it is because someone else has suffered before you. Did you hear that? If you sacrifice without success, it is because someone after you will succeed from your sacrifice. Notice, they just assumed if you're going to live for the Lord, there's going to be some sacrifice. He lost 3 wives and many of his children on foreign soil. But you know, if we are able to give in some way, if we are able to give up in something for eternity, for the sake of souls, Dejon Walker didn't just come about by accident. There were some people who were willing to give and to minister and willing to invest. Thankful for men or for people, John Leach and others. Thankful for Fairhaven and people that were willing to minister to these people that are so needy. And you know, there's more of them out there. There's more. There's more. If we look around, we open our eyes, there's more that need to be reached. What are you willing to travail for? The Apostle Paul, he said it this way, I will gladly spend and be spent. I will gladly give. As the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What does that mean? Travail. How about it tonight? Are we willing to travail? God's convicting me as well. How much are we willing to travail? Proverbs 14:4, I'm going to leave you with this verse. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. The ox there seems to represent the ministry. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if you didn't have to go on that bus route? Wouldn't it be a lot easier if you just didn't have to get involved in those ministries? But hey, there is much increase. There is much increase. Right? The Bible still works. Right? And the Bible says, there is much increase. There is a great reward. And God blesses. But we need to be willing. We need to travail. Oh, there is such a need. How are we doing tonight? Are we willing to give up some things? Sometimes it's that Sunday afternoon ordinance. Get that nap in, you know. Giving up some time. Giving up some things. Maybe it's some personal amusement for the sake of somebody else. God uses people to help people. And God wants to use us. Isaac Watts, the 16th century preacher, he put a song that we sing these days, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And it says in verse number 2, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Think about it tonight. What does God want you to do? Are you standing fast in the traditions, in obedience to God's word? Secondly, are you taking the prayer? Are you serious about praying? Are you praying specifically? Are you praying systematically? Are you praying compassionately? Are you passionate about your prayer life? And thirdly, are you willing to travail? Are you willing to travail for souls? Are you willing to travail for the ministry God has given every one of you? This morning we heard about the ministry of reconciliation. And every one of us, we can have a part in it. I don't know about this message and who it was for tonight, but maybe there's something that God has put on your heart. And I hope that you will make a good decision because of it tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And thank you for the warnings that you give us in Scripture. And Lord, maybe We're not standing fast because we're wavering. Maybe we're stressed out, and maybe we're complaining. And maybe we're not trusting, but because we're doubting. Lord, help us to pay attention, focus on prayer. God, I pray that tonight we would take it serious. This is such important work with God that we would trust and we would continue to advance in prayer. And Lord, that you would do a work in us. Help us to put an important priority on it, such a priority before God. And then also, Lord, that we would consider how important it is to pay the price, count the cost. Lord, that we would travail. We know that God will give us a triumph. He will give us a victory, but we need to be willing to travail for him. I pray you work in our hearts tonight. We don't know who this message is for tonight, but we pray that it would touch hearts. And Lord, I pray you'd use it in our lives. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand.